Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Imam Wali Ayub Bilal for Halal Industry, Do For Self. Once again, joining you on this network, thanking our brother Muhammad, Amin Muhammad Yassir. I may be saying his name wrong, but either way, it's all of that. Amin Yassir Muhammad, Muhammad Yassir Amin. But I believe it's Amin Yassir Muhammad. And I pray that he forgives me for saying his name wrong, if I'm saying it wrong. But he's the brother that deals with the Sister Clara Muhammad STEM school. And just like he has a talent that we need for what we're talking about doing in the future, mostly everyone, has a talent that is needed when we're talking about establishing the model community. You know, the Imam said something. Nate mentioned it, I believe, it was last week on another program, on this program, matter of fact, I believe. But he mentioned it about how the pattern had already been set for us. Mm-hmm. Maybe if you're just born, you don't see the pattern. That's natural. When I say just born today, I'm not speaking of a baby, an infant. There are some people just coming into Islam. There are some people just becoming aware that they themselves have been chosen by Allah to practice Islam. You can't just get Islam. Allah calls you, and then we surrender, we submit. We practice what he lays before us, not only by watching men who have had it before and women who have had it before, families who have had it before, but constant reading of the Quran. When we read the Quran, that's Allah speaking to us. And every person, Allah says he's turned them to a goal. So the goal that he turns me to may be different. The co-hosts here, Brother Nate Muhammad and Brother James Bashir. All three of us, we've been joined together for years. But at the same time, all three of us got something else we can bring to the table. We complement each other. So if we set 100 of us in the room, not 100 Wallies and Nates and Jane, but 100 brothers and sisters who are surrendering themselves to Allah, and we begin to build based on our skills, we'll find that each of us have enough to strengthen each other to do what we have to do. I often look at the way we as a people do things. And because we're Muslims, we follow the language of our prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, and the language that was given him from Allah. When I say language, I don't mean a language of a particular country. Yes, the Quran was revealed in Arabic. But do you believe Allah wants the whole humanity to just speak Arabic to be comfortable with him? No. He gives us language. He said, I made you different. This is Quran. Mm-hmm. This is not the prophet, prayers and peace be upon him. This is not the angels. This is not any man or woman walking earth or have ever walked earth. No, this is Allah. I made you different so you'll learn from one another. Mm-hmm. When I look at the time of Muhammad the prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, I see a people of ignorance. Now, the prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, made a statement that helped us understand ignorance then and ignorance today. He said Islam will return to people every time who are most ignorant. In other words, they do things that show they don't even know. What was one of the things in the days of Muhammad the prophet, prayers and peace be upon him? One of the major things that I see to show that there was no thinking among the men was that if they had a daughter, they killed her. They buried her. They put her in the ground, sometimes alive, and was satisfied with that. Think about that kind of culture. That me, my brother, my father's brothers, my uncles, my my cousins, et cetera, my friends, et cetera, who are men. We are so ignorant, and I'm not talking about the Arab race. I'm talking about the ignorance of the time, that we would have a daughter, and because we wanted sons, we would bury the daughter alive. And as I like to add to that, all it takes is a little push in thought to come up why we all can't do that. How will we have sons to marry daughters or produce for us sons who will produce for us grandchildren if we have no women, if we have no girls to become women? No, Allah says, I made you with a mate, two pairs, not male and male, not female and female. But the men during that time couldn't see that they were trying to make a world of male and male, no female, and look up at their mother ever since they was a little child and see how they got there. They didn't know it, how, you know, what pregnancy was all about. But, like, you can get rid of all of the carriers, baby carriers. We don't have in us what it takes to produce a baby. We have a pot of the ingredients, but she has the major ingredients. Not beating them up. But the prophet said that every time Islam returns, it will go to the most ignorant people and then grow. In other words, sometimes the smartest people, the richest people, they don't want to look at the poorest and the dumbest. They'll cast them off as just servants. Instead of taking a chance to educate them to have what they have. But then sometimes greed come in. Sometimes control come in. In other words, the shaitan whispering in the heads of everybody. Our interests have to be, what did Allah, God, design for us? There's not any scriptures that says that there was a host of people the first day for life for humanity. No, there's one. Adam didn't have nobody else with him. And then Allah says he will create a mate from that same soul. Not from the same bones, from the same soul, same spirit. And Adam looked up, and then he had a wife. And here's another thing, something that Allah can do, God can do, and no one else can do. The Creator can do. And I'm using those terms for those of us that's so tight in our mind that just think that the Arabic word is the only way to say the God. Allah says nearest to us in faith, that's worship, is the Christian. He don't want us to battle each other. He wants us to just be the example. If those who follow Christianity or Judaism be the example of those who came to them with the message, and those of us who are Muslims follow the design of Muhammad, and we follow those designs, we'll find oneness. To believe, I can't drop one because I want to, because God is the one that put him on earth. And he says clearly, nearest to us. This is Quran. Nearest to us. In faith as the Christians. So I'm saying this for a start on introducing ourselves, BP, Bilal's Inc., the halal industry. When we look at what need to be done, now, you know, I get texts from brothers, very seldom sisters, but brothers, who like to text what someone said hundreds of years ago. I ain't talking about the Quran. I ain't talking about what we can find as fact that the prophet may have said, prayers and peace be upon him. I'm talking about what we say to Sheikh. Sheikh represents for us what OG is today. In other words, the old person with experience. The old person who got around and heard the word of God. These things are important to us. But at the same time, we have to recognize that the prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, Muhammad, the messenger of Allah, told his companions, I mentioned this last week, I believe it was on this program, He told his best, his favorite companions in speaking to them. He was speaking to all of them, all that was in the room, but he's really sharing it, the ones who took it to heart and kind of had a rough time with it, was his close companions. This was to make them understand that they're not becoming God. They're becoming men who serve God. But the real work ain't even here yet. You're the first to get it, his time, but this message will be gone for thousands of years. We don't know when it's going to end. Allah knows the time. But this message is to be clear to everyone, to follow it, to practice it. But the prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, said to his companions, there will come a people in time, in the future, who never saw me, never heard my voice, put on the land that I come from. They will take and do more with this message than you are, talking about his companions, Omar, Abu Bakr, Bilal, all of them. Because Allah allows his message to grow the people who practice it. Shaitan, he whispers, but he can't grow. There weren't any human being to beat Shaitan. All you got to do is know the difference in his message and Allah's message and leave his message alone. And it ain't hard. Most of us know when we got a whisper talking to us, you know, that whisper inside ourselves and make you look at a person and say, I don't like that person, and ask themselves, why you don't like them? Color of their skin? Or they too tall? Or they got muscles? They might look better than the person. So he's jealous. Jealousy is from Shaitan, not from Allah. It exists because of Allah, but jealousy is from Shaitan. Our life has to be where we are grateful for what Allah has given us, what he's put in our path, what he's made useful for us to build the society in which we live. So again, as I've said before, Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, if you could bring him here right now and his companions right now, stand them anywhere in the world, and then pull out your phones, pull up your motorcycle and your car, let a jet go by, and let their hearing and the sight come on all at one time when this is happening. It'll give most of them a heart attack. The only way they wouldn't have a heart attack is Allah will steady their heart that it wouldn't cause the pain for them to die. So when we look at just those things, and we don't want to believe what the prophet was saying, just those things. They're there. They're proof that if anybody or anything can grow, it grows based on knowledge and insight over time. Once upon a time, when someone said that, nothing meant just that, nothing. But today you can make something out of nothing, the old saying. And I'm not just throwing cliches around. Look at the many things that are used in society that may have been trash, or not even trash, was looked at and didn't know what should we do with that. So Allah is telling us. So I'm saying, okay, this Imam Wali Ayyub Bilal making this statement. Many times we get a hadith or something from someone, and it's telling us about sin, telling us about prayer. It's telling us about what won't be forgiven. Why do we take time to read that? I mean, you can read it, to glance at it. But why would we think that that's where Allah wants us to stop it? I'm 75 years old. I don't commit sins. Can I make a mistake? Yes, and I can ask forgiveness for the mistake. I can step on your toe. You might want to punch me in the mouth. Beat me up, whatever the case may be. Plus your shoes shining or your feet hurt, But it's not a sin. It's something that I can ask for forgiveness for, of the person, and also ask Allah to forgive me for stepping on a person's toes. But people come and talk to us in the Jumas, because in their world, that's what they think it is. No. The Quran is not even just giving us just prayers and worry about sin. When we read the Quran, if we really read it, it's giving us instructions to build the societies that we live. You say, well, I don't see no instructions. I don't see the blueprint. You ain't reading it good enough. You're not applying it to your heart. Oh, I'm not judging you. I'm just saying apply it to your heart. When we utilize it and we work together, we build together, we see the society change. One of the things that I'm driving home is that please allow what I mean by driving home. I mean in conversation. We have to come together to build the model community.
Yes,
we're not just existing, just going in and out of our houses and not. No, with the model. Allah says about Muhammad the Prophet, he's the model and the mercy for humanity. That's us today. When we stand up, think about this during the days of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Sister Clara Muhammad, may Allah be pleased with both of them, give them paradise. She heard from a friend. She went with a friend to hear Farad Muhammad. And she recognized, this is the medicine my husband needs. The message was to do for self. Now, Farad Muhammad, as a teacher, he did his best, the best that he could do. But his hopes was to find one of us that had the spirit that they wanted to do better, so he can deposit the message in them, and the message really was the Quran. And that message would cause us to grow. Muhammad the Prophet said to his people, if you go, and I'm talking about Abu Bakr, Umar, and all of them, if you go to a people who you don't speak their language, don't lead them. Don't become their leader. How are you going to become their leader and you can't even talk to them? The only one that we're allowed to lead, the only individuals that we're allowed to lead and can't speak their language and they can't yet speak our language, is our babies. So they learn from sight, touch, smell, like animals almost.
Mm-hmm.
They can, their senses say something. That baby get to noticing that person coming in, bring a bottle or the breast, bring a towel and a diaper or whatever, don't even know how to call it what it is. And that child says to itself, I want to go where it's going. Don't even know it's a man or a woman, but I want to go where it's going. And it gives it the ability, if you leave it on the bed too long, that baby will come. You'll go out the room and come back and find the baby on the floor crying. Because
mm-hmm.
He sees and he learns. The Prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, was telling his people, don't lead them. So us, the African Americans, descendants of slaves here, one day, the things that we say, the things that we write down, might be 100 years from now, might be more. Somebody will be looking at it and say, look what the sheikh said here. Not that you want to be a sheikh, it's just really a senior has more knowledge, should have, more wisdom than the youngster. And when they put something down, they're putting it down based on experience, knowledge, insight, and how to grow. The youngster haven't grown yet. Might be big, might be heavy in weight, get good grades in school, but haven't applied it yet. I remember as a youngster that one of my cousin's husband, he had a habit of doing things, showing things, being done, and I was sitting a distance away on the steps, but looking into the kitchen, and he put some, I didn't know what it was then, but he had a cigarette lighter in his hand, and he was showing them a trick. And what the trick was, really, was that he would pour a little cigarette lighter fluid in it and set the flame close enough to his thumb that he looked like from a distance he lit up his thumb. So I watched them from a distance. Now, I'm too young to even be playing with fire. I took my little brothers and sisters that were younger than me and told them, I want to show you something.
Mm.
And I went in there and I sprayed the same thing. He left the cigarette lighter fluid right there in the room. I had to stand up on the chair to get it. And I sprayed it all over my right hand. But I just spread it. And I put my hand over the flame and it didn't catch on. I sprayed it a second and a third time. Still didn't catch on. I wasn't putting enough on it, looked like. So I soaked my hand in the fluid. This time when I put it on the flame, all I heard was whoop. It was like an explosion. It ignited in my hand. In my hand, I looked like I was the lady in New York up on the stone. What's she called? What's her name? Holding the torch. Statue of Liberty. Yes, yes. My hand was on fire. Fortunately, right in the next room, it wasn't close enough. But right in the next room, there's a zinc that I was able to go in there and turn the water on and stick my hand in the water and put the fire out.
Mm. That's quick thinking.
I wanted to cry, and I did cry, and the only thing slowed me up from crying, my brothers and sisters, three of them.
They weren't laughing.
They were crying harder than me.
Oh.
So I'm wondering why they crying. And they just kept saying, Dad going to tear your butt up. He going to beat you. And, you know, but the point I'm saying is this. This here, I didn't know what I was doing with it. I watched the older person playing a trick in front of everybody. They understood it. I didn't. When we look at building a house, we're taught. My father taught me as a child how to build with blocks. He made the blocks himself and build things. But he was the one that knew how to build the house. What he was showing me was a little structure idea, so to speak. But he understood why a block would lock into another block and what would it take to keep force, outside force, from knocking the walls down and other things, weight being in the room, et cetera, et cetera. It's the same thing with the life of Islam. We can read everything we should, everything that we can of good. But we have to start writing our own opinion about things that work today. Because we quote what other people say.
That's all we do.
We don't need to hear about sin in prayer across the Rasul. I've been praying all my life, but praying as a Muslim since 1969, coming out of Vietnam. I don't need anybody telling me about praying. If my brain locks and I forget the words in Arabic, and I have done that, I can pray to Allah in English. He made us different, so we would learn from each other. But when it comes to Allah, we're exactly the same. If I say I love Allah in English and I'm a liar, it's the same if I say it in Arabic and I'm a liar. If I'm telling the truth, Allah know it. He know it either way. The point of Muhammad the Prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, telling people don't get in front of us. Don't if you don't know the language, you don't know our language, you don't know our culture, don't get in front of us. This ain't racism. This ain't, well, we don't want to hear nothing because you're Arab, or we don't want to hear nothing because you're this or that. No. You get the lesson, then you apply the lesson to your problem. Our problem is we need to build a society that works. We already, look at our people. If it ain't happening in your city, your town, your masjid right now, your church, whatever, look at our people, how often they think somebody else know better than we know. You have a mechanic working on your car, and they're doing the best they can, and your car is always running. But sometimes I've seen this. We'll go back to a Caucasian and say, can you check to see if this is right? I had somebody look at it, and I don't know if they did it right. But it was their friend, their brother, their cousin that they took it to. Now they got to get the sanction from someone else. We have to watch what we're doing. Religion itself don't mean for us to just jump up and holler, just pray. It's to build the faith in us to get something done. But Allah give us a message. That message is supposed to be a clue to us that we can change this side of the world. Why? It did it for someone else. If you can go work and through your job, you can buy a car. All I got to do is start working and maybe I could buy a car. I don't have to applaud someone else to the point that I stifle myself from growing. That's not the way that it should be. Let us take a break, inshallah. Let me just have to read.
Assalamualaikum. Nate Muhammad here. I'd like to read from the Quran. Surah 66, ayat 8 to 12. O you who believe, turn to Allah with sincere repentance in the hope that your Lord will remove from you your evils and admit you to the garden beneath where rivers flow, the day that Allah will not permit to be humiliated. The prophets and those who believe with him, their light will run full. O prophet, strive hard against the unbelievers and the hypocrites, and be firm against them. Their abode is hell, as evil reference indeed, and evil reference indeed. Allah set forth for an example to the unbelievers, the wife of Noah and the wife of Lot. They were respectful under two of our righteous servants. But they were false to their husband, and they profit nothing before Allah on their account. But was told, enter you the fire along with the others that enter. And Allah set forth as an example to those who believe, the wife of Pharaoh. Behold, she said, O my Lord, build for me in nearness to thee a mansion in the garden, and save me from Pharaoh and his doings, and save me from those that do wrong. And Mary, the daughter of Imran, who guarded her chastity, and we breathed into her body of our spirit, and she testified to the truth of the word of her Lord and of his revelation, and was one of the devoted servants. Thank you, may Allah be pleased with him.
Once again, this is Imam Wali Ayub Bilal. The halal industry do for self. So I want to continue where I'm going. I said Beefy has a purpose. Halal's Inc., the halal industry. Our purpose is to establish economics for our people. And as I've mentioned many times, the conversation was with Imam Muhammad in 1995 when I first started slaughtering and processing meat, running in small loads, I mean, a few hundred pounds, up and down the coast, and when I say the coast, whether it was west, whether it was south, whether it was north, wherever we were going to hear the man, we took a load of profit. most of the places that we would go to and take in the products, we would cook them on the spot. We had raw meats. I mean, not raw meats. We had packages of meats that wasn't cooked, sausages, hot dogs, things of that nature. But we always went, especially when the weather was good, we always took a grill so we can do the products outside. And literally the joy was when we did this, we found people that walked over to us and purposely would say, oh, I don't eat beef. I thought y'all had turkey. Before that day was gone, they heard that they were so good, they was eating not one sandwich but a few sandwiches.
Right.
So it was a chance to actually show us feeding ourselves. This make me a big to-do? No. This make the ones that's with me a big to-do? No. Our interest is to build and use what we got to build more. We have to have the spirit to actually leave legacies, but we can't leave legacies if we don't share the wealth as we grow.
Mm-hmm.
So with Blau Inc., the halal industry, our goal, we have a property, and we've been tested. Trust me, we've been tested. The city has held us back literally for the better part of 18 years. September 29th, we'll be getting ready to go into the 20th year, I believe, 19th year, I believe, to open a building in our community. Done right, when we finish setting it up, Allah willing, we'll hire 100 people within the first week. Say it takes 30 days, so within the first month. And the only reason why it will take that period of time is because certain things you can't set up on the first day. It take a week or two. So we want to do that. We want in our neighborhoods, Philadelphia, that every African-American community, not just Muslim community, our people, we want to extend loans. For some, it'll be a gift because they support it. But we want to extend loans to some of our people to open businesses in our community. Nothing haram. We're not opening no bars. Matter of fact, we ain't supporting no restaurant with alcohol.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? The person might say, well, ain't you going to lose? No, that person would lose.
Mm-hmm.
If you can get a business open and you can sell a better quality of things, would you rather not? I don't think Allah will bless you. I think you'll hold yourself up. So are we saying to everybody, become Muslim? No, that's your choice. But the Muslims have shown, during the days of the nation particularly, that we can be the example that Allah said we should see in Muhammad the Prophet. And there's those around that saying, well, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad didn't follow Muhammad the Prophet. He followed. How could you take the Quran and not follow the Prophet? Was he a quoter of hadiths and things like that? Yes, to a great degree. If you check his wisdom, he gave the information that was needed for us here as a people. But we will find that what we needed here as a people, the world needs it. The message for humanity ain't just separated for kings and queens. No, every human being should live like a king and a queen. Not be a spendthrift, not just throwing money away. But every one of them should live where they have voice in the world. No paupers, or as they used to call it, what was the fly on the wall? What did they call him? He in the room, the black man. He serve and he can do everything, but he got to act like he don't hear nothing. No, we don't want to create people like that. Allah want all of us to be successful. Allah has made the creation in a way that every family could be millionaires. Why would we settle for less? Don't chase the money. Don't chase. I'm not saying it in that manner, because you may want to go somewhere else and get the money that might cause you to end up in the fire,
right,
in the fire final hours, or end up in prison here. So, no, we don't want that. But what I'm saying is Allah has made enough wealth in the creation that nobody has to do bad. We got some ugly people. I don't mean physically. The way they treat people or willing to treat people to be subservient to them. But if Allah free us, and we build for self and we don't pick up the bad habits of others, and we continue to build, we can build for other people too. But our first goal, Allah says this, save yourself. You don't even hear the family yet. Save yourself and your family from the hellfire. He ain't telling us, you know, go get your family first, save them first. Save you so you can save more. Your family may not yet know how to save others. So we have to see how to work. I'm saying this establishment that we have, should Allah bless us to fulfill it in a way of opening it, the way we want to open it, we expect within a year. It may take 2 years, may take 3 years, some business terms. But we believe, based on the little experience that I've had, within the first year, we can sell £1 million. By the end of that year, we'll be up to, with the scale of growth that we have planned, we can sell £1 million of beef product. We're going to be doing lamb, goat, and poultry also. But we measure what we're doing for growth from the beef. Why? It's bigger. You don't need as many animals to get say 1,000 pounds. You can get one cow that weighs 2,000 pounds. 1,500 pounds, so it ain't hard to get 1,000 pounds. But how many chicken do it take to get 1,000 pounds? How many lamb and goat? So we're going for the big gusto, so to speak. Slaughter the animals. Train people slaughtering. Train people inspecting. Train people in butchering. That's not for everybody. We don't need everybody to do that. We need lawyers. We need accountants. We need bankers. We need doctors. We need a little bit of everything, auto mechanics, technicians, those who can build and establish what go across the airwaves. We don't need everybody to be snorers. But in order for us to build wealth, our wealth can't just be in one area. It has to be across the country. And that wealth will be utilized, a portion of it, a nice portion of it. I'm saying, £1 million, excuse me, per week, let outright financially, it translates into $1 million per week profit. We want to break that profit into five categories. The number one is putting our people in business. So there are some of us already in business, but we need a boost. We can't get it from the banks. Some every now and then. But for the most part, don't nobody want to lend us money. So we got to make money, make economics to lend to ourselves. When we do this property, like I'm saying, to do £1 million of beef, might be 1,500 animals. Maybe less than 1,500 animals. Maybe a little bit more. But don't you see right there, the next thing we need, factory just as big or larger that will handle the hides, because we'll now begin to make leather goods, shearling, wool, cashmere, and the things that they do with feathers. All these things are right in front of our face. Own your own. This earth is big enough for every people to own their own. And for us to find that we can treat each other properly and we can build. We need to build a model community. A model community needs businesses, need hospitals, needs schools, it needs theaters, movies. Oh, brother, we ain't allowed to do movies. Where you get that from? People telling us we ain't allowed of something. That hundreds of years after the prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, died, some of these things was invented. Hundreds of years, some of them 1,000 years. You didn't see these things. And they don't read. Listen to this here. With all their good reading Arabic, and I'm not down in Arabic, and thinking that they can quote all the hadiths and they know them, and they know a few ayahs that can support the hadiths they're speaking of. Muhammad the Prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, asked his wife, Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her also, would you like to see how the people, he was speaking about the people that look like us. I don't know what they were called back then. I don't think the place was called Africa at that time. But whatever it was called, he was talking about people that look like us, free people. He said, you want to see how they celebrate and enjoy themselves. Read the hadiths. I've read them back in the early 70s, cover to cover, Bukhari and Muslim, Sahih, if you like the word in front of both of them. And the book says that he went over to a doorway. They didn't have doors like we got, but they had a doorway. And he let her lean on his shoulder as he sat there, sat in front of her, and watched the people looking like us play their instruments, was mostly drums, congo sounding, some dance. Their culture, they lived, and the prophet didn't tell them to stop it. Oh, Imam, you telling the people to dance? If I feel like dancing with my wife, I will dance. I won't dance with yours. That's what we might have to worry about. But if I want to enjoy my wife in my house, I will do that.
That's right.
If I want to dance with my daughters.
That's right.
Have a good time with my family to show how you can, in a clean way, enjoy your life.
Mm-hmm.
One day we should have ownership. Tyler Perry has one, a studio. We need more than that. So we can change the culture of the pictures that they put in our homes through the TV, through the movies. But if we're sitting back and we think just praying is what Allah wants us to do, find that anywhere in the Quran. He gave us five times. And the journey that the Prophet made to go before Allah when he was given the assignment of five, according to the hadith, these five were 50. And when he left where he was talking, or Allah was talking to him, when he left that space to come back and bring the news to the people, he met with Moses. I believe it was Moses. And Moses said, he told you to do 50 in a day? No, go back. Go back and tell them they can't do it. He said, look, I have experience. These people was hard-headed. He's talking about his brothers and sisters in the Jewish community. They was hard. They run. The matter of fact, they messed my head up so bad, I asked Allah, please, let them go into the paradise by themselves. I'll stay here. So Moses told the prophet to go back. The prophet went back. And when he came back to Moses, he said, Allah has reduced the prayer to five. He reduced it, if I'm not mistaken, the way I remember it, he reduced them twice. But the final was, he reduced them to five, but every prayer will be worth 10. So he gives us the reward of 50 prayers, even though we make five. So now don't stop making prayer. Worship your Lord. Worship him even when you're not even in prostration. Thanking him for the good that comes to you always. Praying that he keeps you strong and staying on what's right. And being successful to win the victory in this life of being a better person as well as the next life. But one of the things that has to be said in our presence is what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, do for self.
That's our language.
Do for self. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, born 1897. I like to say this every time I speak of him. May Allah be pleased and forgive him, have mercy on him, and allow him to be in a high place in the paradise. He brought us to us as a community, the ability to write, send our message around the world from the manufacturing plant. Printing plant, whatever you want to call it. He started halal
Florida and right there in Chicago and showed around the world. Some of the people that talk about him, they didn't know he was doing these things. He offered Quran as a reward for you succeeding in things. But they want to say he didn't give us Muhammad the prophet. Why would he give us the Quran then? He got to tell us who the Quran came to. He didn't tell us it came to him. All of these things is proof that Allah gives to each people what he wants them to have. Allah is not a God that would give Muhammad the prophet the way to him and don't give no other people that way. Everyone got it. It's just, do you choose to take it? You don't want to take the path that Allah put us on, then fine. Message, though, to do for self. Build your own. We have to do that as a people. We got Muslims, African-American descendants of slaves, Muslims, who say because they're taught from abroad, they're not Americans. So they won't vote. My father used to read the Bible to me regularly. 10 years old, a little early and beyond. And every time he read the story of Lot, Prophet Lot, I would ask, how did the people get like that? And you know what I'm talking about. Don't beat them up, homosexuals. But don't be like them. How did they get like that to the point that God punished all of them? The only family got out of that particular predicament of the fire was Lot and his children, his family. His wife couldn't even get out. Not because she was a homosexual, she wasn't. She sympathized with him. So you look around today, you see church people, you see Muslims, people of the masjid, you see Jewish people, people of the synagogue, and others who say they express daily prayers and belief in God. But we stand back and watch the world fall apart. We may never, according to the story of Lot, we may never be able to take the human being out of trying to be something else. And we should never beat them into being what we think they should be. If a man was born a man and he want to act like a woman, let him go before God doing what he's doing. Woman want to do the same thing, act like a man, let her go before God doing what they do. But don't you do it. Don't beat them up. Everybody got them in their family. Once upon a time, there were no Nation of Islam in any family in America until the Nation of Islam started.
Right.
Everything that hits a house or hits a neighborhood will eventually, if it lives, go to all of them. So everybody got homosexuals in their family. Some may have more than others. Would you want somebody to just kill them or beat them up because they, in their mind, they're a little messed up? They want to be something that they ain't. They telling God. And that's my question with them. I don't want to battle nobody. I just want to ask them, do they believe in God? If they say no from the start, I ain't got no conversation with them. They don't need me even talking to somebody that say outward they don't believe in God. I get on the elevator where I live, and some get on. If it's males trying to be females, not out of smartness, but I just say, how you doing, brother? And they look at me. But how you going to make me see something different than what I see? You want to be a woman, you be a woman. I remember asking one person while I was in the prison. They shipped me out of that, the next morning. He out there laying on the yard like he on a beach, sitting back, and all these inmates on the other side of the gate standing there, woo, and all that. And I went straight over to the gate. What's wrong with you niggas, man? Excuse me for that N-word. But I had to say it to him in there. I'm not a cursing man. But I had to say it. No, I know that. I had to say something to shock him.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, and this was the county jail. I said, you just got locked up. Some of you ain't been in here a week. And you looking at this man like it's a woman? So finally they broke up. They walked away. And as I walked in, the guy said to me, says, I could take you to my cell and show you something. And you'll see. I said, you telling me you like my mother? You like my wife? You like my daughters or my sisters or my aunts? That's what you're telling me? So he said, well, you just go to the cell with me. I said, I'll go to the cell with you. And you show me something, I'm going to leave you in there dead. Now, I didn't have to do that because he changed his mind. In other words, don't push your stuff on me. A man is a man.
Right.
But what we have to fear is what we see in the story of Lot. The people just kept accepting it until the whole town became that. And I would pray if I'm in a town and it's all like that, and I don't want to hate none of them. But I pray I get enough sense to move out like Lot was told to do before it encroached upon me. There's things that Allah wants us to do, and there's success that they should have, but not necessarily like that. But if they do it, that's between them and Allah. You and I, who got enough sense to actually worship God as he wants us to worship him, and that's I'm talking to Muslims, Christians, Jewish people, and anybody else that feel that they're worshiping God, Allah, the Creator. If you're worshiping him, then we should be building from the world that he's presented to us. I don't have to waste time trying to change somebody to be something else. None of us do. We got enough work on us with our family, with our friends, making sure that all of that blends and we live better than the way we're living at the present time. You know, there's a conversation about reparation. And sometimes people ask me about what I think about it. Yes, I would take it. You can't get reparation, though, until we come together. And not only just coming together, because you ain't going to just come together in numbers and take it. We got to put people in office that will help make the decision. Brothers and sisters who can be fair to humanity to be leaders in this world. Now, there's some Muslims that say, no, we ain't going to excuse nobody but Muslims. You're going to wind up with something else because Muslims don't want to do it. Muslims don't want to vote as a majority. Some of us bleed because they say in the East, America is full of the big shaitan. They don't say that too much no more.
No, you don't hear that.
No, they
but you just hear everybody want to come to them.
They want to come to them. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so they are brothers and our sisters, but we are the lead today in America on establishing Islam, on establishing what Allah wants. That's Allah's choice. That wasn't our choice. Don't blame the white man for the ship that we came over on. He was following direction that he didn't even know he had.
He's still doing it.
And he's still doing it. But that's because we ain't standing.
That's right.
Allah will give them their due, and some of them, for many of them, they might have been terrible. Allah might not even punish them, might have forgiven them. They had a job to do, to reduce us to nothing. And look at us today. Look at us today. The only thing holding us back, we don't want to work together.
Mm.
Some of us will say, some brother sent something to me about the Salaf. You want to be a Salaf? Be a Salaf. The prophet, school of thought of the prophet that he serves Allah. That's the one I'm in. My teacher here in America, in Islam, was first the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, then Imam Muhammad. But most importantly, I had to get into the teachings myself. I don't mean lead nobody. I had to get into it myself. So we're going to take a break at this time.
Well, PSA, because this 1 hour runs quick.
Yes, it does.
For 2 hours, and that takes a little longer to get it. This will run quick.
I sound like I'm James Bashir. Join us every Wednesday. Excuse me, join us every day from 6 to 7 p.m. For an edition of the Halal Industry Do For Self with your host, Imam Wale Ayu Bilal, President, Founder, and CEO of Bilal Zay, and co-host James Bashir and Nate Muhammad. The interest of Belial's Inc. is to establish economics for the African-American people, descendants of the slaves of America. This program is to encourage people to unite and to build economic strength to establish community life by doing for self, to build the model community. And we thank Brother Amin Yasir Muhammad of the Fair Muhammad STEM School for allowing us to be on every day of the week. Connect at am360.org and 24-hour streaming at 701-719-4197. Call in live to speak to the hosts at 515-605-9891 or 425-292-4253. Share comments at info@cwsc.us, tweet at CWSHURAA, email us at info@cwsc.us, visit am360.org, Parent Corporation, Community-Wide Shore Conference at cwsc.us, or leave a listener comment at 910-317-0297.
Yes, we also want to remind you to call in to the host live, 9665. This is for Sister Claire Muhammad STEM School. You can call in again, 515-602-9665. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd just like to close and thank you for, again, another opportunity, Brother Amin Muhammad, to tomorrow, same time, 6 to 7, with another edition of the Halal Industry, Do For Self, better known as BP, allowing the Halal Industry. Thank you again, and assalamu alaikum.
Mm-hmm.